honest. I miss preaching when I don't get to, and so I'm glad to be able to be here tonight, and I hope the Lord will speak to our hearts and help us. This is sort of a teaching, preaching message, and so I hope we'll learn some things tonight. Romans chapter number 10. And we're going to start reading in verse number 8 down through verse number 21. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 8. The Bible said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Let's pray. Lord, we come tonight and I thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, as we come this evening, I pray that you would help us as we look into the Word of God. I pray that it would help us. I pray that it would be a blessing. I pray that it would open our mind, our hearts. I pray that it would give us a greater burden for those that are lost and for our responsibility to get the gospel out into all the world. I pray, Lord, that you would take the message and not only use it here at church, but maybe anybody that would listen on the website, radio, anything like that. Lord, we always pray that you'd take the Word of God, and your Word says that what we cast forth is not in vain. The Word of God never goes out in vain. The Scripture cannot be broken. And so we pray for your help tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts and you would save souls as only you can. Lord, we'll thank you. We come and ask for your help tonight. We ask that you would be with all the many objects of prayer that we have. Lord, you know each and every one. And Lord, we come asking these things tonight in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we're going to start tonight in verse number 18. Some of these verses are very familiar, and then some of them maybe not as familiar. But in verse number 18, notice what the Bible said. There's a question here. And the Bible said, But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And there is a lot of scripture references in Romans chapter number 10. Paul is writing, and he refers to Isaiah. He refers to the book of Joel. He refers to the book of Psalms. We're going to look back at some of these verses tonight, or I'll just mention where it is mentioned from. But this subject came up in our men's Sunday school class a couple of Sundays ago, and it got me to thinking about some of the things. And we were talking about what about all the people in the world that have never heard the gospel. And I think Brother Ben may have been the one that asked the question or brought it up. And we weren't arguing, we weren't debating about it, but we're just, you know, that's a good question. What about all the people in the world that have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible gives us the answer to that. And I don't know that I'll answer even what we were talking about, but that, I'm just saying, that got me to thinking about this. That was sort of what got my mind and my heart thinking about it. And if you think about it, I'll just give you some statistics tonight to begin with about the people in the world. And of course, this is, you know, nobody knows how many people exactly in the world have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But just generally speaking, there are today about 7.2 billion people in the world. This is from a ministry called Global Frontier Missions. And all that I read, this is pretty much about the same. But there's 7.2 billion people in the world. There are 3 billion people in the world who are in what is called an unreached people group. UPG, if you see that, those three letters, unreached people groups. And there's approximately 16,300 unique people groups in the world. 6,500 of those are considered unreached. 95% of the people in the world that have been unreached with the gospel are in what is called the 10-40 windows. So from 10 degrees to 40 degrees. And that area of the world would be from the middle of Africa through Asia, through China, that area of the world. There are huge numbers of people that have never heard. Most of these are Muslim or communist countries. It'd be very easy to grow up in a Muslim nation and never hear the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, something else interesting about that, that big window, that 10-40 window where most of the unreached people in the world are, that is where less than 10% of mission work is done. So 90% of the missionaries are going to all other places in the world, but they're not going to the place that is the most needy. And there's reasons for that. Well, it's against the law. Muslim countries are closed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is against the law to proselyte or to evangelize. And what will they do in a Muslim country? Well, they'll chop your head off. That's what they'll do. And so there's a reason why that missionaries are not going. Now, it's not saying they're not going at all, but they're very hard to get into countries like that. And many missionaries that are in countries like that are there under another, you know, they're there in secret. They might have a printing ministry. They might have they might be there under the guise of doing something else, teaching English, for example. In China, a lot of American missionaries are in China and they're there teaching English and they're actually involved in a underground church. So there's a lot of reasons why this is not a well-reached area of the world. And so just a little bit, but 3 billion people. Let's just round it off and say that there's 3 billion people in the world that have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be born, grow up, live to be an old person, and die never having heard the gospel. That is very possible. And by the way, it's possible to live in America and not ever hear a clear presentation of the gospel. So they are out there, people like that. Now, modern missions as we know it began in the late 1700s. The father of modern missions is, and I preached on this a while back, an Englishman named William Carey. And about that same time from America, another missionary went out. His name was Adoniram Judson. And so when men like that begin to go, they begin to preach to churches in England, in America, the great need for the church to carry the gospel into foreign lands. And later on, J. Hudson Taylor went into China and established the China Inland Mission. And so all of that, there's a time where there was a revival of missionaries going to foreign lands, mainly from Britain and America. That's modern missions. Missions like we think about missionaries going today. Well, in the 1700s, 1800s, preachers and missionaries, they begin to preach messages out of Matthew 24 and 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Have you ever heard? And I remember Preacher Arnt Greer preaching along these lines. Some of you may remember that the gospel, when the gospel was preached around the globe, then Jesus would come. Out of Matthew 24 and verse number 14. And there was a great many preachers begin to preach that, you know, if we just get the gospel into all the world, then the second coming would take place. But that type of preaching really began 1700s, 1800s, even into the 1900s. And so just giving you some background, but I want to say this to begin with tonight, that there are at least three times that all the world has known the truth of God. Matthew chapter number 24 has already been fulfilled. The gospel has gone around the globe. And if you really study this out, the gospel has gone around the globe at different times, numerous times. Now, there's at least three times that the world received the truth of God, and we could say the whole world knew. One at creation. Well, that's very easy because there's only two people. Now, if those two people would have been faithful and done what they should have done, everybody had been saved. But after a while, the population outruns the... But there's a time when the whole world knew. At creation, and then after the flood, Noah and his family knew, and there's only six of them, or eight of them. And so there's a fresh start. The whole world knew for a short period of time. And then on the day of Pentecost, and we'll look over there in Acts chapter number 2, the whole world was represented there in Jerusalem. We'll see that. And the whole world will hear the truth of God again in the tribulation time period. The two witnesses, and I'm not going to get into this tonight, but the two witnesses and the 144,000 Jews that are going to be sealed by God in Revelation chapter number 7. They're going to have a worldwide ministry. And you don't hear this preached on a whole lot, but during the tribulation time period, there is going to be a lot of people that are going to get saved. And I believe that the majority of them will be saved out of that 1040 window where the gospel is closed to today. But those 144,000 Jews, they're going to go and they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom unto all nations, and then the end will come. That's actually what Matthew chapter 24 is talking about. And those two witnesses, the Antichrist will seek after them and try to kill them and put them to death. And when they finally die, the whole world is going to watch it. But then they're going to come back to life. And you think about today, well, once upon a time, that would have been impossible. But now that is very possible, that people could watch that right out of their pocket. You can get your news up to date on your phone. It's very possible today for that to take place. But there have been times when the whole world has known the truth of God, received the gospel, and the world will receive the gospel. During the tribulation, now nobody will be saved during the tribulation that heard the truth and rejected it. The Bible talks about that in the book of 1 Thessalonians. But there'll be a lot of people that'll get saved, they never heard the truth. But when they hear it, they'll receive it. And there'll be Jews and Gentiles, and you can read Revelation chapter 7 when you get home. Now, our text, notice what our text says in the book of Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 18 says that Paul said, "But I say, have they not heard?" Now, notice what the Bible says. The Bible does not say they have not heard. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, have they not heard? Have they not heard? With a question mark. And so it's talking about the subject of mankind here, and we'll see as we look at this. But it does not say they have not heard. The Bible says, have they not heard? With a question mark. And then notice what it says, what the answer says. The answer says, yes, verily. Yes, they have. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And we'll look tonight and we'll see what that means in verse number 18. But that's the subject that we're preaching on tonight. Have they not heard? Not, they have not heard, but have they not heard? With a question mark. Have they not heard? With a question mark. Number one. What Romans chapter number 10 is talking about. Have they not heard of the way of Christ? Now, Romans chapter number 10 is the subject is the nation of Israel. Or he is talking about the nation of Israel. This is for us as well, but the subject he's talking about, he's dealing with Israel. Now, if you look back in Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, we'll start over there. This is what Paul's talking about. Now, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, but he never forgot about the Jews. Look what he said in chapter 10, verse number 1. Brethren, and he's talking to Christians there, Gentiles. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. And so what the Jews needed to hear about, yes, they had the law, yes, they had their own righteousness, yes, they had a lot of knowledge about God, but their knowledge of God was zealous, but not according to knowledge. They knew about everything, but they didn't know about their own Messiah. They didn't know about the way of Christ. The very one that came to save them, they rejected. They didn't want to hear about him. That's their Messiah. Which is also, by the way, our Messiah, our Christ, our Savior. But it is not the law that saves us. It is not a religion that saves us. It is not our own self-righteousness that saves us. But who saves us is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the world needs to hear about. They need to hear about him. They need to hear about the Messiah. Now, look down in verse number 12. A lot of people say, well, that they're Jews. We're Gentiles. But look what the Bible says. Verse number 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, if you're a Jew or a Gentile, it does not matter. You get saved the same way. They had a lot of questions in the early church. Well, we're Jews. Well, what about them Gentiles? And Paul spent a lot of time just letting everybody know there's no difference. We're all saved the same way. A Jew needs to be born again. A Gentile needs to be born again. There's only one way to heaven. It's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all got to come the same way, Jew and Gentile alike. There's no difference. Look in verse number 9. We all must come and believe the same gospel, the same good news. And what is the good news? Well, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got to hear the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And it cannot just be head knowledge, but it's got to be a heart knowledge. And the Bible is very plain about that. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so the Bible tells us there, what does it take to be saved? You got to hear about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You got to believe with all of your heart. You got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Look how simple it is. We read verse number 12. There's no difference between Jew or Greek. It's the same for both. Look at verse number 13. You cannot get any simpler than this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we're remembering what this is talking about, that he died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if we call upon the name of the Lord out of a believing heart, that's what it takes to be saved. There's some very simple things. In verse number 13, there is, first of all, there is the promise of salvation. I'm glad God promised to save. You say, I don't know if he'll save me or not. Try him out. Look what the Bible said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. That's not what it says. It's a promise. It says, shall be saved. There's a promise of salvation. There is the perspective of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a be saved salvation, not a save yourself salvation. Not a join the church salvation. Not a if you'll be baptized. Not if you will tithe. Not if you will be a good person and keep the Ten Commandments. It is a be saved. It is a John 5:24 shall pass from death unto life. That's a great salvation. A lot of people are trying to be saved. They're working on it. They're hoping for it. But I'm glad that we can lay down on our beds tonight and we can go home or we can stand up and testify. I'm thankful the Lord saved me. Saved. Past tense. It's a perspective. A lot of people are trying to be saved, but if you've been born again, you are saved. Shall be saved. There's a promise of salvation. There's a perspective of salvation. There's the person of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He's the person of salvation. He's the one that does the saving. He's the one that makes a new creature out of us. He is the one that births us into the family of God. It's all because of Him. It's the Lord that does the saving. But there's the personal decision of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, people come and they say, preacher, will you pray for me? I will pray for you. Children go to their parents. Mama, pray for me. Mama will pray for you. But mama's prayers don't save you. You got to call on the Lord. I'll pray for you. If somebody comes to the altar, Preacher, I'm lost. Will you pray for me? I remember one time a young lady told me, I was talking to her about being saved, and they said, oh yeah, preacher so-and-so saved me. That was the exact words that come out of their mouth. I tried to talk to them. I said, there ain't no preacher can save you. You got to call on the Lord. It's a personal decision. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And there, I really like this. There is the people of salvation. Do you see what it says in verse number 13? Whosoever. Whosoever. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, old, young, educated, uneducated, white, black, yellow, red. If you're sick, you're green, it don't matter. Whosoever. God saves whosoever. We may not believe in a whensoever. I don't believe people just get saved whenever they want to. But when God deals with your heart, whosoever, He'll save you. He'll save you then. He'll save you now. And so there's the way of Christ. That's what the world needs to hear about. And have they not heard? In Acts chapter number 8, an Ethiopian out in the middle of the desert, reading out of the book of Isaiah, riding along in his chariot, this Ethiopian, this is a black man, as black as you can get, heading back home, and he's wondering to himself, who is that talking about? Who is that talking about? And maybe he looks off in the distance and he sees a little dust cloud. I don't know exactly, but God sends a preacher out of nowhere. And here comes Philip, comes up beside the chariot. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me? Philip goes up into his chariot, takes the Bible, takes the Word of God, preaches Jesus unto him. He believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, gets saved by the grace of God. Philip baptizes him. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And that black man received Christ, gets baptized, goes on his way home rejoicing. You think he told anybody when he got home? I think he did. It's not they have not heard. It's have they not heard? They have heard and heard and heard and heard again. In Acts chapter number 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter number 9, the greatest apostle of all time, the apostle Paul. Well, you talk about a 180. He was persecuting Christians, putting them in prison, wanted to outlaw everything they were doing. He gets saved by the grace of God. He becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. And the New Testament is a record of him going throughout the known world, preaching, 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 establishing churches. Have they not heard? Yes, they have heard. And so we see that. And then in Acts chapter number 10, Cornelius gets saved. Cornelius is a Roman. He's white. He's a Gentile like a lot of us. And so the world has heard over and over and over again. Do you know if you study real church history? I'm not talking about... Most people, when they think about church history, they think about Catholic church history. That is not real church history. If you study real church history, what you find is that the gospel has gone out into the world. Do you know the Celtic Christians? That was the original inhabitants of the British Isles, of England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland. The Celtic Christians were so influential to get the gospel out. And even in Paul's day, they went into Europe, modern day Europe, Italy and the British Isles. They were so influential that the Druids, You've heard about Stonehenge? That's the Druid church. And they're just one of them. But everybody wants to talk about the Druids. The Christians were so, they became so dominant that the Druids lost their power. The darkness that was over Britain at the time, we're talking about the 100s, 200s, 300s, the Druids lost their power over the centuries. You heard about St. Patrick? St. Patrick was a Baptist. The Catholics are, they are masters at changing history. But St. Patrick was actually a gospel preacher. There's a lot of revivals, a lot of souls saved in Britain. The world has heard the gospel many times over. There have been revivals in Europe. There have been revivals in Russia. There have been revivals in England and even China and Wales and in America. And so the question is not they have not heard, but have they not heard? And the answer is yes. The world has heard the gospel many, many times. There's the way of Christ. There's only one way to be saved. Number two, there's the work of the church. Now, all this has not just gotten done without any footwork to it. If the gospel goes out, there has to be footwork. There's the work of the church. Look in Romans chapter 10, verse number 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, that's the work of the church. Going and sending. There's got to be a preacher. And the preacher has to be sent. As it is written. And he's referring back to Isaiah chapter 52. He uses a lot of cross references in Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 13 is out of Joel 2 and 32. And verse number 11 is out of Isaiah 28 and verse 16. And verse number 15 is out of Isaiah 52 and 7. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's the work of the church. Have they not heard? Now, if we just look back in the book of Acts, keep your place here, look in Acts chapter number 1. And let's just think for a few minutes tonight about the early church. The early church is very powerful to get the gospel out. In fact, nothing has ever happened like it since. There's been some that's been close. England has had some great revivals. Wales has had some great revivals. And America. We are the result of one of the greatest revivals since the day of Pentecost. And that's a revival of Christians that started in North Carolina. Why are there so many churches in the South? It's a revival. Happened in the late 1700s. All right, Acts chapter number 1. We're just going to think about the early church. Look what the Bible said. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The Lord Jesus told that 120 disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And let me tell you, since that time, the gospel has circled the earth. I had a missionary one time, and I was pastoring over at Forest Grove, and he came, and we went across Georgia's Gap, and you know how that is, and we got down to the other side, and he told the church, he said, I'm so happy to be here. We fulfilled the book of Acts. This has to be the uttermost part of the earth. And there's a lot of places you'd think that's, and I'll tell you, the gospel, there's no country in the world where there are not any Christians. Every country, every continent has some. Jesus said, you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Look in chapter 2, verse number 4. The day of Pentecost was fully come. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Have you ever noticed that before? There were people there from everywhere. From every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The miracle of Pentecost was not an unknown tongue. It was that every person heard Peter preach in his native tongue. For example, if I was from Mexico and when I heard Peter preach in Greek, I would have heard the message in my own native tongue. That was the miracle. Every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" Now, this list of nations that are mentioned here, and I've studied this out before, and I think I've even preached on it here at church, but you talk about every nation around. They were from all over the place. And they heard the gospel in their own tongue. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" And on that day, thousands heard and thousands believed the gospel. You think any of them went home and told anybody what had happened? They were supposed to. Why wouldn't they? If the gospel's good enough to save you, it's good enough to tell somebody what happened. I have to believe they went home and told what happened. And so all these people from all these places, multitudes were saved. And so the book of Acts is, it says the Acts of the Apostles, but it is actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the early church. And by the time you get over to chapter number 17, the Bible said that their enemies said, "These that have turned the world upside down." And by the time you get to the book of Revelation, there are seven churches throughout Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. And I'm telling you, there's churches all over the place. The New Testament is letters to churches at Colossae, at Ephesus, at Philippi, all over the church, all over the Corinthians, the believers in Rome. The believers in Caesar's household. And all over the place. Acts chapter 19, verse number 10. The Bible said, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." And so we find that there's the work of the church that has taken place. And all down through the centuries, ever since then, Christians and churches have been going and preaching and teaching and giving and printing and sending for 2,000 years. This has never ceased. Now, every modern day cult will tell you that the true church went out of existence and came back into existence with them. That's what the Mormons say. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. But they're a cult. And the only way you can justify starting a church 1,800 years after Jesus was here is to say, well, the real church went out of existence, but it never went out of existence. Who was Catholicism persecuting for all those centuries? the true church. The true church, the history of of Italy and Rome, and the there's a group called the Paulicians. They were called the Paulicians because they followed the teachings of the Apostle Paul. And out of them came the Waldensians, who lived and survived, the Paulicians and the Waldensians, for 1,000 years in Europe, held the blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus. While the Catholic Church was burning Christians and Bibles and outlawing churches and saying you can't do that, the Waldensians were teaching even their women, which is unheard of in the Dark Ages. They were teaching their children, they were teaching their women how to read, because they believed it was important for them to be able to read the Word of God. And they evangelized and they went and they went. Have they not heard? Why have they not heard? They have heard. God has never left Himself without a witness in all these centuries. There's always been somebody going with the Word of God. Now, have they not heard? Well, they have heard, but they've not necessarily believed. You got to realize what the Bible also says. We are sinful creatures. And John chapter 3 and verse number 19 says this, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But it's not that they have not heard. They have heard. They have heard over and over and over again. Even today, Christians are giving their life to get the Word of God out. In Muslim countries, you won't hear about this very much on the news, but in a lot of these Muslim countries, they're burning churches, killing Christians, cutting their heads off. We get missionary letters very often. In fact, I've got one right there on the pew, and one of the missionaries that was here in the last year, they won a young lady to the Lord. And she went home and told her family, and nobody knows what has happened to her since then. That's right now. That's people we know. Because her Muslim family threatened her. And she might be dead, and they might have taken her. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Christians are giving their life. Why? Why? To get the gospel out. To tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus. I know there's a great many that have not heard. But the world has always had a witness. Now we're either faithful to do it or we're not. But there's the work of the church. It has always gone on down through the centuries. Last of all, now we're going to go back to where we started in Romans chapter number 10. There is the witness of creation. And in Romans chapter number 10, it talks about that. In fact, that's what verse number 18 is talking about. We're going to go back to verse number 16. The Bible said, Romans 10 verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now they've heard, they've not all obeyed. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That was in our Sunday school lesson this morning out of Isaiah 53 and 1. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? So Paul, he poses the question, have they not heard? And then he answers this question, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now there he quotes Psalms chapter number 19. And so I want to go over to Psalms chapter number 19. I want to read verses 1 through 6 over there. Psalms chapter number 19 and verses 1 through 6. There is the way of Christ, number 1. Number 2, there's the work of the church. There's got to be a preacher, and the preacher's got to be sent. But number 3, there's the witness of creation. There's the witness of creation. And that is what is being referred to in verse number 18 in Romans chapter number 10. And he is quoting out of Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19 in verse number 1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Now, let me just stop right there. Now, the sun that we say comes up in the morning, it doesn't speak. The moon doesn't speak. The stars do not speak. But it says in verse number 2, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. But it does speak. And you can speak without saying something. And the most universal way to talk when you don't know somebody else's language is by a sign. And so when the sun comes up in the morning, you know what it says? The Lord. It doesn't have to say an audible word. It's a sign to the whole world. When the moon comes up, when the stars come out, when you look out into the great expanse of the universe and they say, there is no end, it is limitless. You know what all that says? It says God is bigger than that. God is eternal. There's no end to the Lord. Creation is the greatest witness of God that there is. Day in the day utter speech, night in the night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Do you know every people on the face of the earth, you know what they all talk about? Same thing we talk about. They talk about the weather. Wonder if it's going to rain. Wonder if it's going to snow. How hot it is. How cold it is. They look up every day. Look up in the sun, see what time of the day it is. The sun, the moon, the stars, all of this stuff. It preaches to the whole wide world, there is a God. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. It's talking about the sun and what we would say coming up, but we know the planets rotate. It's figurative language. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. It's talking about the witness of creation and day and night and light and dark and the gentleness of nature and the severity of it all and the seasons and all the miracle of creation. It witnesses every day. There is a God. There is a God. I love what Spurgeon says about it. He says this. He says, in the expanse above us, God flies, as it were, his starry flag to show that the King is at home. And hangs out his eshkin, which means a flag, that atheists may see how he despises their denunciations of him. Creation is so huge. The sun, the stars, if you really study into it, to say there's no God just makes a person look like a fool. All of creation testifies of the Lord. All of the design, all of the reliability of it, all of it points to the fact that there is a Creator. And so we say to ourselves, well, you can't be saved by just knowing there's a God. And that's true. You got to hear the gospel. But if a person rejects the Creator, they'll never accept the Christ. And that's where we are in the world today. A wholesale rejection that there even is a God. And I'm going to go over here and I'm almost done. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 teaches us that they are without excuse. There's no excuse not to believe in God. But if you reject God, you certainly won't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's where we are today. The communist countries say there is no God. They're atheist. The Muslim countries say Allah is God. They reject the God of the Bible. They'd have you think they're one and the same, but they are not one and the same. Those who worship Allah worship an ancient moon god. That's where Allah came from. They were all a bunch of idolaters. And Muhammad, being a violent killer, went in and destroyed all the other idols that were in the place they had where they stored all their idols at. And he said, my God's the only God there is. And his God was a moon god. And that's why all the Muslim countries have a moon and a star on their flag. It's idolatry. But they say one God, well, that's just because he said, my God's the only God we're going to worship. Not like we say there's one God and one Creator and one Lord of all. But the Bible said they're without excuse. Now we'll go back to chapter number 10 and we're closing. Well, what about those that haven't heard? Well, if they never hear, they'll never be saved. And if they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. That's the fact of the matter. But I do believe this. If anybody looks up at the sun and says there has to be a God, I want to know about him, I believe God will send a Philip out of the city into the desert to tell them about Christ, to tell somebody else. I believe that with all of my heart. There are many missionaries that have had great success as they have gone and just simply told the people, I'm here to tell you about God. And people were interested and got saved. It don't happen in America very much, but it does happen in other places. And it has happened down through the centuries. Well, back in Romans chapter number 10. Now this is an interesting thing. He said they have heard. First there's the witness of creation. But in verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? Now, Israel should have known. They had the truth. They had the Word of God. John the Baptist came to them. Jesus came to them. They should have known. Did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And what an interesting thing it is in verses 19, 20, and 21. It talks about those who never sought him were found of him. And those who he went to, talking about the Jews, he reached out his hands, he tried, he wooed, he called unto them, they rejected him. The Gentiles received him, the Jews who should have received him rejected him. The Gentiles weren't looking, but they found him, he found them. But the Jews who should have found him didn't or wouldn't. And so we could come to the end of the message tonight and say, well, what about them? Well, I can just tell you what the Bible says about them. But you know, we could speculate and talk a whole lot about. Somebody asked me one time, years ago, said, well, preacher, what about the people in Africa that have never heard? And you know what I told them? And I tell people the same thing today. I say, well, I don't know all about them, but I'd sure like to know about you. And that's the one you ought to be worried about. I told somebody, I said, if you're so worried about them, why don't you get saved and then you can go tell them? But they just didn't want to talk about their need for Christ. They weren't really that concerned about people in Africa. But the people in Africa aren't here tonight, but all of y'all are. I wish the house was full of lost people. There's some lost people that needed to be here tonight. What about you? What about you? That's who we need to be concerned about. And what about my part in the going? What about my part in the sending? That's what I need to be concerned about. There's a lot of things we'll never know all the answers to. But what we do know, we got to act upon that. And so we know enough to do that tonight. And I appreciate your good attention. I look around tonight, and you know, in my mind, I'd say, well, everybody's saved, everybody's good. But I don't know. I don't know. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and